Greetings, my fellow Starfleet officers. I am your captain on the deck, Mike the Birdman Dawe, but I'm not alone as we sit down at the Denny's buffet to talk about Star Trek. I am joined with
Steve Megatron Phillips.
I just realized I don't think I've ever seen a Denny's that has a buffet, but in Star Trek, they do.
Well, so, it's called Neelix's.
There we go. I like it. So last time on the show, we talked about space exploration, kind of the politics of space exploration, the do's, the don'ts, and the what-ifs. In this episode, our 25th episode, we're going to go back to our very first episode and kind of look back upon the fandom that we've kind of found ourselves in. And how is, I mean, Steve, we've been doing this show for over a year now, right?
Oh, yeah.
So it's time to look back on that, because some fandoms have huge surges in popularity, like, for example, My Little Pony and Bronies. I mean, there's a reason why you haven't seen a new episode from Last Exit to Ponyville in, like, 2 months, because things are changing in the fandom. And with Star Trek, you can kind of draw a similar thing. For a while, it's super hot, and then it cools down. And that's what we're going to talk about today, is 25 episodes later, are we still proud to put on the Starfleet, what I think looks like corduroy? Are we still able to throw on the comm badge and still be proud to call ourselves Starfleet officers? Steve, let's start with you. 25 episodes later, are you still a big a fan as when we started this?
I would kind of argue yes and no.
Okay.
I would argue yes, because I still have a strong passion for all things Trek. I still love the series. I still love the films. It's still a very passionate part of my life as a geek. That being said, I'm not liking the direction that Trek has been going in the last 10 years, which is more or less down a circling rotation of the bottom of a toilet bowl.
Okay, what do you mean by that?
Well, when I say that, I mean, take for instance, Enterprise. It's not the greatest series ever. It's not, you know, there were a lot of issues that kind of contradicted previous tracks. Plus, it was all revealed to be a giant hologram from the holodeck, or at least part of it was, for Riker's amusement.
Yeah.
Which was a cop-out, because they got canceled. But I also think that since then, I think the vision has been lost. I think truly the vision was lost after Voyager. But I think it really died after Enterprise got canned. And it took them 4.5 years to come back with a new track as the reboot by J.J. Abrams, which, don't get me wrong, I love the reboot, the first one. It was good. It tried to revitalize the franchise, which it did. It got some people back in it. The casting was superb. A lot of the new renovations because of the altered timeline. I mean, I could forgive certain aspects because of what it was. Then comes the donkey show that was Into Darkness, which we covered that in a previous episode. I'm not going to go into all the details, but it was a cluster of crap from various Star Trek films, episodes, etc. And it was just rehashed writing. It was just terribly written. And the thing I've noticed with the reboots are, and it really bothers me, and it doesn't bother me so much in the first reboot film, because it's done in such a way that it's more of an action sci-fi flick than it is actually sci-fi. The second film was all action. There was nothing scientific about that entire film. Did they use transwarp technology from the first reboot? Yes. Did they use certain other technologies like Khan and the super blood and everything else? Yes. The problem with it is there's no explanation for it. There's too many MacGuffins going on. There's the Enterprise underwater, you know, having none of the rest of the fleet to help the Enterprise defend against this giant USS Vengeance. Having all these continuity issues, all these different tech issues, all these different science issues have kind of come to a culminating point by the end of that film to where I was left with a sour taste in my mouth. Was it an enjoyable film? Yes. But I feel like the rest of the franchise has gotten terribly soured since the reboot. And I'm not very optimistic about the third film. Not because JJ's not attached to it, because honestly, I'm not a fan of his anyway. But it's because Roberto Orci is still attached. And Orci and Kurtzman, to me, are...
It's the same damn thing over and over.
Well, they're the fucking bottom feeders of new media. I mean, if you think about it, all they do is rehash old shit. That's all they do. I'm not saying that Hollywood in general is original, because it's not. It's far from it. Nothing is original anymore. Everything's been done. The problem is they don't come up with a new way to spin it. What they do is they rehash lines word for word. I'm not saying that you can't use their catchphrase or you can't use certain, you know, because obviously they're trying to keep true to the personalities, but you can't sit there and neglect the science. You can't neglect the, you know, you look at Transformers, you look at Star Trek, you look at everything they've touched. They've pretty much butchered it all, because after the first film of whatever it is that they're on, the first film usually goes okay and people are forgiving of it because of, you know, hey, it's back in film, or it's actually in film, or, you know, whatever. So people are just like, yeah, it's a good movie. And then the studio, of course, takes us to think, oh, these guys are great. We have to get them back for another one. And unlike, you know, back in the day during the old Treks or during old, you know, Star Wars or whatever, where they had a different writer per film or a different director per film. And, you know, occasionally one would come back here or there, but it helped it keep the evolution going by having somebody different. Whereas nowadays they seem to stick with the same group of people. And I feel like that's kind of handicapped Star Trek to the point that now it's expected to be Star Wars.
I can't disagree with you on that. I mean, it seems to me, to kind of follow up on your point, after Into Darkness was in theaters, before that, everyone was really excited. We got Benedict Cumberbatch as Khan, though everybody says it wasn't Khan, but it was Khan. And it looked pretty cool. I mean, come on, we had friend RoboCop in Star Trek. And it seems like things were going really, really, really well for the franchise. Into Darkness came out, and I wouldn't say it bombed. I don't think it performed to expectations. And it seems to me like the fandom just kind of dried up. I mean, there's wonderful projects like Star Trek Renegades. Netflix is supposedly talking with people. It's a possibility. There's that other series that... oh my god, it's going to bother me now when it's... friggin' name is. He's the anime dude. Fuck. Vic Mignola's involved in. And it seems like the fan films are going great. But in popular culture, in the average pop culture conversation, I hear Star Trek come up, I hear Transformers come up, Doctor Who, even new shows like Defiance, I'm hearing a lot of people talk about now. Star Trek almost never gets brought up by people under 25. And that really disappoints me, because I kind of want to follow up on your point where it's like the franchise lost its vision after Voyager. I'd argue about halfway through Voyager, it started to lose its path. There were some good episodes in Voyager's later years. I thoroughly enjoy a good chunk of stuff after season 3, actually. But... the winds changed. And the only Star Trek stuff I ever see is the big convention in Vegas. And I just don't hear a lot of people talking about it anymore. And we do have groups like SFI Starfleet, the group that sponsors us, to keep the fandom alive. But where does it go?
I honestly don't know at this point. I mean, it's getting to the point that while I do love it, and I don't want to ever see Star Trek go away, I'm almost wondering if it needs to go away.
It needs a break, a good long 10-year break.
Well, and they started to give it that break. The problem is they went straight back to film, which I think kind of crippled it because, again, not that I don't enjoy them going back and bringing back Kirk and all of his crew, because I really love that crew, but it's been done. Like, I would either rather like to see a new cast, a new Bridge of the Enterprise, so to speak, you know, or I would like to see, I would like to see just a new television series.
I think you kind of hit it right on the head there. The problem with them making the new movies is the fact, you're right, it's stuck to the big screen. And that's kind of the problem, is you don't have 25 episodes plus to develop these characters. You're given 2 hours, so 120 minutes to give us characters we should give a shit about. And a lot of movies can do that. With Star Trek, I think the nuance has really helped it. I mean, with, say, Star Trek The Next Generation, with movies like Generations, Insurrection, First Contact, Nemesis, if we didn't have 7 years of TNG, I don't think we would have cared. You needed episodes like Best of Both Worlds to establish why Picard hates the Borg. You needed to understand all the things that he went through as a captain, with his crew, with his friends, to get why some of these decisions are hard. With the new Trek, okay, you gave us a cool first movie. Where does that go? You put them again on the big screen. Big deal. And the thing is, we don't care. So the fact that no one cares about these characters, because we haven't had a chance, we've grown attached to a version of them, because when we see Chris Pine and Zachary Quinto, we're thinking Shatner and Nimoy. I think personally we try and transpose their old adventures onto these new cast members, and it doesn't work. And it's not to say the new movies are all crap. One for Two is not bad. So I wonder what's going to happen with the third movie, because I know Abrams is not involved anymore.
It's Roberto Orci directing.
So I'm a little leery, but the thing is, Star Trek should be more relevant now than it ever has been. And you look at a franchise, like, say, Battlestar Galactica, became so relevant after 9/11, because it talked about, you know, conspiracies, loyalties, and all that stuff, and how people perceive each other in a war. It drew a lot of comparisons to 9/11. Star Trek has this possibility to be this great multicultural experience, which it started out as and expanded upon in TNG and in DS9 and Voyager. I kind of wonder if the time for that Trek, if it should be now or if it's past now. What I mean by that is, in terms of strong sci-fi shows that are on the air right now, we have Doctor Who, Continuum, and those are the big ones I can think of. I know there's a bunch of more coming in the fall. We canceled Almost Human after, like, 10 episodes or something. So, Carl Urban's not doing much right now.
He was doing Almost Human, and then it got canned.
Yeah, maybe he's got time to work on that Judge Dredd sequel now. Make it happen!
I think it actually is going to happen.
Oh, my God, I just got a boner. I love that movie. But you kind of, I wonder if the fandom for Star Trek is just kind of... Like, I'd like to see some hard numbers on who was seeing this movie in terms of demographics, because In the Darkness was more or less Michael Bay with Star Trek. Which makes you really worried for Episode 7, because it's Abrams.
Yeah.
And it's just... I don't know. I think Star Trek needs that narrative, and we've talked about this with Leo, that sci-fi guy, last year, about why a new Trek needs to be on TV, and it's more relevant now because the world seems to me in a lot of ways more divided than it has been in a while, and Star Trek taught some wonderful cultural values, and the thing is about Star Trek, it was accessible for everybody. It didn't need to be a gritty reboot. It doesn't need to be... I don't think it needs to be The Walking Dead. I don't think it needs to be Battlestar Galactica. I think it can approach the everybody audience and still work. Now, here's the question. Could it survive on network TV? And simply to me, the answer is no.
Oh, hell no. It would die.
Like, I can't see it... Now, after Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., watch Star Trek. It wouldn't happen. It would have to go to a cable network or, in a better ideal world, go to Netflix or go to Hulu. Because it can be viewed on demand. You would have your numbers. And if they put out a Star Trek Kickstarter saying, hey, guys, we can do the first season for, like, $5 million or something, it would happen. Or something good would happen. I mean, look what happened with Veronica Mars. The movie raised $5 million in like a couple of days, and the movie got made, came out in March, and was great. With Star Trek, I think the problem is when you dropped the narrative from what I consider to be the Star Trek Prime universe, and you start pushing this new alternate reality, you've alienated so many fans, and I think I'm one of them too, because... Here we are, Steve. We talk about the old days of Star Trek like they were something we'll never be able to revisit. And I kind of wonder if that's the case. Because this new Trek seems to be the future. And if that's the case, I don't think I like where it's headed. It's kind of driven me back to my old Star Trek staples of going back and rewatching Voyager, to going back to my old Star Trek role-playing books. Stuff like that, which was a wonderfully supported line, I'd like to add, by either Decipher, Lash, Unicorn, or even Fossa back in the day. Nobody has a connection to these characters. I think we have more of a connection to the actors than we do the characters they're portraying. I have more of a connection to Simon Pegg as Simon Pegg than I do Simon Pegg as Scotty. Or I have more of a connection to Zachary Quinto than I do Spock. And I think that's the problem. Back in the day, with the original Star Trek movies, you cared about the characters. I think in some ways the actors were kind of secondary to that.
And I can kind of see that.
And even with Star Trek The Next Generation, you cared about Picard, not Patrick Stewart. With these new movies, it's like they banked more on star power than character. And while you said they were greatly cast, like, Chris Pine's a great Kirk. Zachary Quinto's a great Spock.
But, well, they all fit the roles that they were cast in. The problem, again, is they're going for star power, not story.
Does the cast fit the role, though? You know what I'm saying here?
Yeah, I mean, I could kind of see both sides of it. I mean, it's... I love the cast. I think that, you know, there's not really much else that they could have really done.
Yeah, I mean...
But I think that they handicapped themselves from the get-go because they went straight to film instead of doing another television series.
And that's kind of why I wonder why we don't see as many Star Trek fans anymore. Like, you can walk out to any geek convention, I guarantee you will see more Star Wars shirts than Star Trek shirts.
Which is unfortunate.
Which is unfortunate. And you look at it because Star Trek, like I said, it's become this thing where if you're over 30, it's cool. If it's not, it's like, oh, hey, did you see that movie back in 2009? That's 5 years ago, right? Five, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not that far out of memory. And it's just a summer movie to these people. And I don't mean to say you people like that, but things have shifted. And I think the demographic has shifted, and we're shifting with it, because over the course of this show, I think in some ways I'm becoming disconnected with. I mean, I enjoy the stories that I'm seeing. I enjoy the arcs that I'm enjoying Star Trek for what it is. But I think I'm with you in the fact that I think it needs to go to bed for a while.
Well, I mean, if nothing else, if they're going to keep it around, I think the method that they need to go with is the ones where they have, like, your Star Trek Continues, or your the Renegades, or something that's predominantly rooted in
the established
the
canon.
Old continuity.
Yeah.
Because the people that are writing these seem to actually get it. Which is something I think, again, that is lost in the newer translation. It's more about, oh, shiny shit. Or, you know, it's more about that and who's being who. And, oh, it's the kissy face Uhura and Spock. Who gives a shit? Like, we're here watching science. I mean, yeah, you want them to have, you know, personal interactions and everything, but why do they have to be all like that? I mean, they're this is like space exploration. It's not a damn soap opera.
Well, I think the soap opera experience is important to it too. I mean, because you look at the older Star Trek movies, and a majority of them had a message. I can't tell you what the message is of In the Darkness is, and I can't tell you what the message was for the reboot either. I mean, with Star Trek IV, whales, environment, I get that right away. And that's the one that probably comes the clearest to mind. Whereas, say, First Contact, revenge and its implications. With the other ones, it doesn't come to mind as quickly. And I think it should. Star Trek, to me, has always been about a message and the relationships with the characters with the science. And the new movies have discarded that. And I think because we live in an era now where people are starting to take an interest in science again, thanks to people like Neil Tyson deGrasse, with Fox airing Cosmos, my God, now's a great time to do a new Star Trek series. Have people learn about shit like magnetars and supernovas and black holes and all that shit. You could make a new Star Trek series really interesting, and even tie it into the new continuity, have a ship. Hell, if they want to steal a page out of the TNG playbook, move it forward a generation so you don't have to have Zachary Quinto. Or if you wanted to, you can have Zachary Quinto. He's a fucking Vulcan. They live like a couple hundred years anyway, right?
Pretty much. So, it's not like he's doing much other than the occasional film here or there.
Yeah, so, you know, and Carl Urban's not doing much. I mean, you could have him record video logs or something, you know, have narration or flashbacks or something. There's so much possibility where they could just have a series flash forward and maybe do it as like a 13-episode miniseries. See if the possibility's there for people to tune in. And don't give it to fucking sci-fi, whatever you goddamn do.
Or Fox.
Or Fox. Give it to AMC. Give it
Well, there was actually... It's funny that you say that, because there was a rumor floating around a few days ago about Netflix possibly courting CBS for a new series pickup. And it was quickly squashed because of the sources and everything else, but it was intriguing enough because people were actually flocking to it, like almost expecting it to be legit.
Yeah, I mean, I even posted that link myself, and they were like, we've had talks, but nothing's come out of it. Although I did find out that Captain Worf still a thing.
I was disappointed, too. I posted it as well. I'm
like,
guilty.
Yes. And I don't know, it's like, I wonder who at CBS is so desperate to hold on to the rights that they don't want to use them other than on film.
All they got to do is license it out. It's not like they, you know, I mean, Abrams, even when he took over, and I think the reason why he flocked to Star Wars is because they're giving him, you know, the ability to do what the hell he wants.
I really wonder how the new television series will tie into, like, Rebels will tie into the new series. I'm curious.
Well, I mean, he wanted to bring Star Trek
back to TV.
Back to TV. And he had a plan for it and everything. And CBS said,
nope.
Here's my finger. Look between the lines, you know?
Yeah. It's tragic because I think it could be really cool, especially given the budgets. If you could get the right studios behind this, it could be awesome. And you don't need to have it super, super flashy. Build your sets, do practical, and, you know, tell stories, not science fiction events. You know, like, not everything needs to be, you know, you don't always need lens flip. Give me a little more inner light, a little less best of both worlds, if you kind of get where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
Give me stories that make me care and have them in the future. That's great. And there's lots of great actors out there who would make wonderful additions to the new Abramsverse if that's the route they wanted to go. I'm glad people like Michael Dorn are trying to make Captain Worf happen. The people behind Star Trek Renegades. It looks cool when it's finished. People like Vic Mignola doing Star Trek Continues. There's great stuff out there. I wonder if it's going to pass by the vast majority of people because they don't care. And I think apathy is what's going to hurt this fandom the most. And I don't want it to infect people like us. Because, you know, we are podcasters. We are a voice in the geek community. And I think it's important we keep the Star Trek torch alive, but it needs to be kept alive for the right reasons.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to see it just stay around because...
It is.
You know, because I want it to. I want it to stay around because it legitimately deserves to.
Yeah. I mean, I look at, say, the Doctor Who fandom, for example. That just kind of came out of nowhere with the Eccleston years, which is awesome. I'm glad it's come back and it's doing really, really, really well. But it's been around almost as long as Star Trek, and look how retarded popular it is. Star Trek,
but they keep reinventing it.
Yeah, I mean, you get a new Doctor every 2 years. Yeah. And I think they could learn something from that. I mean, the Doctor regenerates once every couple seasons, sometimes, you know, a little more often than that, depending on who's playing him. And you're right, the show reinvents itself. Star Trek could do that. I'm not saying give us a whole new crew, but when Best of Both Worlds airs, they were ready to kill Picard. Imagine a Star Trek show that establishes itself over 2 years, whatever, then you kill the captain. Or, like, where the fuck am I going? Or in Babylon 5, when the first commander left, and then Tron came and took over. Whatever his name was, I can't remember. Sheridan? I don't know. Stuff like that. I mean, Star Trek has the possibility to do so much more, and I don't want to see it just become a relic or a quaint thing at your next sci-fi convention, or, hey, here's, you know, Nichelle Nichols doing a signing just because. I don't want them to be that sad dude at the end of the con line, if you kind of get where I'm going.
Mm-hmm.
I want this to stay around because it's relevant. I want this to stay around because it means something. I want Star Trek to mean more to me again. Like, in our last episode, we talked about space exploration, and I started reading about engineering and how space works and how there's all these really cool advances in technology. Star Trek could get people talking again. It really could. I mean, look how many people talk about The Walking Dead when they talk about what if society falls apart. Star Trek has that possibility to address social issues and make it really interesting. I mean, imagine if Star Trek, for example, had its first gay captain or lesbian first officer or a guy who was crippled like Geordi was, except maybe he's got a prosthetic leg or something. You know, there's so many possibilities there to tell interesting stories with interesting people, and no one cares. That really bums me out on a way I can't quite describe. And I look back at my old Trek stuff, and I don't want to say, do you remember the good old days? I want the stories to move forward. I don't want them to pull a Disney and disregard 30 years of continuity. And that's what I'm afraid is going to happen with Star Trek. They're going to hand wave away Shatner and all of them. I mean, the only thing keeping that in the Prime universe is old Spock. And when Leonard Nimoy's dead, which you never know when that's going to happen, that's it. The last line, other than Shatner himself, is gone. And he's dead in the movie continuities. But then again, it's Star Trek. They'll find some stupid way to bring him back if they need to. And I'm pretty sure... I was going to say, not George Takei, the guy that plays Chekhov.
Walter Koenig.
Yeah, Walter Koenig. I can't imagine him doing too much work because he looks really tired. Like, you know what? I'm going to do Renegades, and it'll probably be the last thing that he does. I mean, I know...
Which is fine.
Yeah, I mean, but we need to keep... We need to respect our roots. We need to bring them forward and evolve them. Like you said, reinvent. If Doctor Who can be relevant after being off the air from 1984, from 1990-something when the 8th Doctor movie came out, to 2005, I'm pretty sure we can keep Star Trek alive, considering it went off the air, what, 2004 with, like, Enterprise?
2005, but yeah.
But still, almost 10 years, and we can't get a fucking miniseries? We get two movies, one was good, one was crap, and a fan base that hides. I remember, and I hate saying this phrase with this show, when it wasn't hard to find a Star Trek fan. When we had three Star Trek shows on the air at one time. Voyager, TNG, Deep Space Nine. Maybe it was just two of them. Either way. There was that time. Could the Times now support three shows in the air? Oh, God, no. I don't even know how they're going to do it with The Walking Dead. They're going to have two separate Walking Dead shows. I have my doubts. So, I don't know. CBS. The Roddenberry Estate. If you are listening. Trek needs to come back to TV. Trek doesn't need to be exclusive to us older geeks who speak of it in reverence, which is great, but not with any excitement anymore. That's why we started this podcast, Steve. We wanted to be excited about Star Trek again. And I think in some ways we become a lot more cynical about it.
I think so, and I think unfortunately it's because geek culture has kind of abandoned it.
And that's sad, and that's, I guess, kind of a little bit of a tangent we can go on before we close out the show, is... When geek culture abandons something, it abandons it hard. It just disappears. Like, these fans just go away. Like, because the fandoms die out for whatever reason. Like, I remember when the... I gotta stop saying that damn phrase. When the X-Files was huge. Now it's gone. When people used to talk about things like, say, Smallville, for example. Now it's gone. And now it's all Doctor Who, the Marvel Universe, Star Trek, and
Arrow,
to a limited extent, the DC movieverse, and that's about it. And I said Star Wars, yeah. And some of these are some really great story-driven properties. Some of them are more spectacle events. I'm looking at you, DC. But Star Trek has just been kind of forgotten. And that sucks. Like, I want to be excited about this again. I want to see it not just be used as a punchline on The Big Bang Theory. I want to see it become something better than what it was, because writers today are so talented. The technology has never been better for television. We need to do this, and we need to do it soon. Because I think, honestly, I think the warp core is going to go critical sooner rather than later.
I kind of agree with you, and it kills me to even think that.
It really does. So, guys, this will be my question to you. So, feedback at thisweekingeek.net. Share with us a Star Trek memory. What does Trek mean to you? We've had 25 episodes together, some of varying quality depending on the conversation. But we've all shared something about Trek. And this will be my closing thought, and then I'll pass it to you, Steve. Star Trek, to me, means exploration. Not just of space and the physical world that we see, but also of the human spirit, because you see wonderful questions posed by episodes like Measure of a Man with Data. What is a soul, and does Data have one? Or ethical questions about, do we give these people the technology to save themselves? A.K.A. the Prime Directive. Stuff like that. Trek, to me, is always about answering ethical questions with science, and it's about having an adventure with great friends and family. Like, to me, the cast I'm closest to is Voyager. Not just because I've interviewed a few of them, but because that is my captain. Captain Janeway is my captain. But I can respect people like Captain Sisko as a leader. In Star Wars, I don't look up to anybody, really. I really don't. But with Star Trek, I would follow Captain Sisko into hell. I would follow Captain Janeway. Maybe a little hesitantly, but I would still follow her. And imagination has always been paramount. So that's what Star Trek means to me.
I think as far as the whole is concerned, I think that Star Trek, I think that it embodies all those things that you said already, but I think that also it allows us to grow as human beings, because without the innovation that we've seen in Star Trek over the past, I don't know, 40, 50 years, 50 some years, getting close to it. Anyways, without that innovation, we wouldn't have things like cell phones. We wouldn't have, you know, the tablets. We wouldn't have, you know, as high tech of computers. We wouldn't have, you know, the concept of video chat or these giant screens, they've come up with the tricorder, they've come up with space travel. I mean, damn near everything that's come from Star Trek was just a thought in the back of someone's mind, and they're like, you know, this would be kind of cool, let's try and figure out a way to make it work and sound plausible in the show, rather than just being, oh, let's pull magic MacGuffin number 4 out of my ass and use it. I think that the show has kind of spawned not only innovation as a culture, but in the individual, because it makes you want to learn more, want to grow. I think, unfortunately, that a lot of that has been lost because of reality TV, because it's so damn cheap for them to manufacture and spit out, like, the crap that it is. I think that it's kind of damaged it, and Star Trek, unfortunately, is one of the partial casualties of it. But I think that the ones that understand it, that truly understand it, will never fully abandon it, despite all of its screw-ups in recent years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's going to mean something different to each of us. And like I said, we really want to hear from you. So feedback at thisweekingeek.net. Voicemail line is working. 817-717-7202. Share with us your Trek memories. Try and keep it to about a minute if you're going to do voicemail. If you do email, don't leave me a novel, but leave me a few paragraphs. We'll definitely read it on the show. So anyway, on our next show, we're not sure if we're going to do Sisko just yet. We may talk about maybe aliens. Talk about alien life. And talk about the supposed real, and what's actually out there. Who knows? So anyway, guys, until next time, we have been
Steve Megatron Phillips.
I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd saying, here's 25 more.